Welcome back. 2 years ago, Esma Hussein's life changed forever. Her husband, Amr Qasim, was shot and killed while attending a peaceful protest in Egypt in 2013. Esma became a widow at 27 and a single mother of their nine-month-old daughter. She recently released her book, A Temporary Gift, Reflections on Love, Loss, and Healing, a compilation of her personal reflections that helped her cope through this tragedy in her life. Her book has been praised by scholars, leaders, and community activists around the world. Esma is a registered social worker and has authored three books. Join me now as we sit down with Esma and learn more about her journey with A Temporary Gift. Welcome to the show, Esma.
Thank you for having me.
So thank you so much for coming on. I know this, you know, it's it must be, you know, mixed feelings with the book. So can you, you know, share with us a little bit about your husband and who he was?
So my husband, his name is Amr Qasim. I write about him a lot in my book. He was actually almost 2 years younger than me, and he, I don't know what else to say about him except that he was a wonderful person. He was a very principled person, which is one of the reasons why, after he heard about, you know, the people being killed by Egyptian military, he knew that it was necessary for him to speak out about that and not just stay silent. So he was a very principled person, and it's one of the things I greatly admire about him. He was a very loving husband and father, very dedicated to his family, his parents, his aunts and uncles, his cousins. He was a social butterfly, if you want to put it that way. And he was also a hopeless romantic, which I write about in my book as
Aww.
Well.
So tell me, I know the title of your book, A Temporary Gift, obviously it relates to your husband. So tell me a little bit about the title and how that relates.
So I chose the title A Temporary Gift because after my husband was killed, I went through a lot of thinking about, you know, my place in this world and, you know, trying to find meaning behind what happened. And it occurred to me that it didn't just occur to me. I mean, like, I realized in a very personal way that everything that we have in this world is temporary. You know, whether it's our children, our spouses, our material things, everything is temporary, and it's a gift. It's a gift given to us by God, right? And a lot of times we don't want to admit it, that, you know, we have something and we love it so much, and we don't want to admit that it's just temporary, it's going to go away, right? So that's essentially why I called the book A Temporary Gift, because Amr was a temporary gift for me. And I have so many, you know, gifts in my life, and it's hard to think about that one day they could be taken away, but it's reality. And actually, I want to share an excerpt from my book, if you'll allow me.
Of course, please go
and
ahead.
And it relates to the title, which is why I'm sharing it. So this excerpt is called We Belong to God. Around 20 minutes before Amr was shot and killed, I called him. I was worried, but he quickly quelled my fears and said to me, "Don't worry, I'm on my way home now." He was indeed on his way home. It wasn't the home that either of us had imagined, however. It wasn't the home where he would be sitting next to me, telling me about his day and having a meal with his family. It was his true home, the home most of us forget about until we actually get there. Verily to God we belong, and to him we shall return. Amr returned to God, not to punish me or his family, not to cause us sleepless nights or sadness and anxiety, certainly not because some criminal decided to take his life. He returned to God because God owns him, and he decided it was time. God continuously gives us gifts to bring us closer to him and to help us thank him. These gifts we have in our hands aren't for us to keep forever. We don't own them. God does. We just have them for a short period of time. We attach our hearts to the physical gifts of which we are in possession. We love the gifts. We spoil the gifts. We hold tightly to the gifts. We ignore the gift giver. Then when he takes the gift away, we become angry and ungrateful, as though we were the true owners of that something or that someone. We own nothing. We don't even own ourselves. God gave Ram to me as a gift for a time. By taking this gift away, he taught me more than I would have ever known had Arm still been with me. He taught me about pain, about courage, about sacrifice. He taught me to yearn for a true home that is eternal. He taught me that no matter how much I dig my heels into this world, I will still return to him at the time and place he wills. Sometimes we need the gifts he gives us, and sometimes we need him to take them away. Perhaps only then we will understand our need and love for the source of those gifts.
Thank you for sharing that. I remember you posted snippets of that on Facebook. So, you know, just hearing that again just brought me back to that. So I can't even imagine, you know, how difficult it must be for you to relive that. So I guess thank you for sharing that. And my other question for you is how did you decide that, you know, writing the book is probably the best thing to do?
It's actually funny because my friend asked me a similar question. She asked me, or she actually just said a statement. She said, it must have been really difficult for you to write this book. And I responded, I responded that it would have been more difficult not to write the book. You know, a lot of people think that I sacrificed a lot in order to write the book and that I sacrificed a lot of my emotional well-being, but it's not true. Actually, writing the book was a way for me to heal. Right, and I've always felt that if there's something of benefit that I find benefit in, that I should share it with others, you know. And I found that a lot of people did find benefit in what I was sharing. So, and a lot of them were encouraging me as well.
Well, you have more than 20,000 followers on Facebook. Alhamdulillah. No surprise there. Did you ever find yourself differentiating between writing for healing versus writing for inspiration? Because I'm sure you know a lot of people, including myself, you know, look up to you and you inspire a lot of people. So,
I try not to differentiate between them. You know, at the beginning when I started writing, I wasn't trying to inspire people. Right, I was trying to heal. You know, I was trying to make sense of what had happened in my life.
And this is when you were writing the book, that's the mindset you had?
No, just from the very beginning. You know, literally 1 or 2 days after my husband passed away, I started writing and sharing. And I did it because I've always been the kind of person who processes my emotions and processes my thoughts through writing. You know, before any of this happened, I was the same way. so it was a way for me to get my feelings down on paper or on the screen, actually. And I posted because social media is just, it's an easy and quick
outlet,
exactly. It's a platform that you know, that I can write on without any barriers, essentially. So I started writing essentially for my friends, for my close friends, because a lot of people were reaching out to me and asking me how I was doing and stuff like that. So that's why I started writing. And then it grew from there, alhamdulillah.
And how, so let's shift the focus a little bit now to the actual book. How is the book structured?
So the book it's a compilation of reflections that I wrote over the past 2 years, essentially. I start with writing about my idda, which is the mourning period of 4 months and 10 days after a woman's husband passes away. And then I move on to a section about my husband specifically, and then a section on God's plans and a section on faith and how faith helped me throughout the process of my healing, etc. So they're divided into sections by topic, but they're a series of reflections gathered together in the book.
And these reflections, initially, they started with you posting them on Facebook, right?
A bulk of the content is what I posted on social media, obviously edited and refined, but I also added a lot of new content as well, content that was necessary and that made sense when everything was put together, like an intro and a little bit more about me, a little bit more about my husband. So it would be like a cohesive piece.
So how did you go? I mean, it sounds like an enormous task. How did you go from Facebook posts and taking them all together and then sitting down and, you know, actually doing it?
It was an enormous task, but somehow it got done.
Amazingly. Not surprising, but amazing.
So basically, I gathered everything into a Word document, right? And it sounds silly, but that's how it started. I gathered everything into a Word document. I kept putting anything new that I would write, I would put it into that Word document, right? Without necessarily knowing what I was going to do with it. And then eventually, you know, some of my friends were encouraging me to compile everything into a book. So I started doing that, and just the process of editing and taking things out and adding, it would, you know, I just do a little bit every day. And in a couple of months, I looked at it, I'm like, hey, this looks like a book.
Done.
Yeah.
What's your message to your readers, you know, and to your followers as well on Facebook? If there's one message that you had for people, what would it be?
I don't know if there's one. There's lots of messages, but I'm very grateful for people who've been supporting me and, you know, commenting and leaving me hopeful messages and praying for me. I've read all of them, and they make a big difference. And the reason I wrote the book, essentially, and the reason that I decided to share it, is that I think it's an important book, and of course I'm biased, right? But because there aren't a lot of people writing about how to overcome grief and how to overcome difficulty, and we all go through difficulty, no matter if we lose, you know, somebody we love or something we love, or even, you know, our sense of safety or self-respect or anything, right? We all go through periods of life where we face hardship and difficulty. And this is a book that will hopefully provide joy and hope and encourage towards patients.
I mean, I'm not biased, but I read some of the excerpts and I'm really excited to read it.
Thank you.
Where can people purchase your book if they're interested?
So they can purchase on my website, Ruqayyah's Bookshelf.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Esma, for coming on. This has been a pleasure and an honor, and we look forward to seeing what else Esma Hussein brings.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, YouTube. We hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.